tomorrow's holiday and the long weekend means the end of the month has arrived artificially early, I guess. So to review November's top Michigan news stories, Current State welcomes back Tim Skubick, host of WKAR-TV's Off the Record. Hi, Tim.
Speaking of turkeys.
And rejoining us also on Thanksgiving Eve, Kyle Mullin, editor and co-owner of MERS News in Lansing. Good to see you, Kyle.
Hey, good to be here, Mark.
Just yesterday, we had a significant development regarding Michigan's juvenile lifers. Detroit federal judge John O'Meara ordered parole hearings for more than 350 such juvenile lifers in Michigan prisons. Tim, give us some more background on this one, please.
Well, this, of course, grows out of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, and one person in town who's not happy is Bill Schuette, who thought this was a lousy decision. What would you expect him to say? He wanted to move slowly on this and let the Supreme Court speak to it again down the road, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it was. But this decision obviously speeds that timetable up. He's unhappy, likely to appeal. But if we have these parole hearings, some of these people could get out of jail earlier than anticipated. We don't know how it will turn out. This obviously, don't you think, will be appealed. So we may be in the courts on this one before we actually sit down and interview and review these cases.
And just to clarify, the Attorney General felt that the ruling should only apply to current and future cases, not to people who have already been incarcerated. Kyle, do you expect the AG will likely appeal Judge O'Meara's order?
Yeah, I think that's a rock-solid guarantee. I mean, he has been very outspoken from the get-go about the victims of these families who have suffered the loss of loved ones because they were murdered by somebody who was underage. And that's who we're talking about here, people who have basically murdered somebody when they were teenagers or kids. And should these people get parole hearings? And Bill Schuette has been very upfront about protecting the rights of the family members, the survivors of these folks. And he's going to take this to the Court of Appeals. And in a statement yesterday, he made it clear that he is going to wait until the U.S. Supreme Court has a say in this matter before he folds on it.
And when is that likely to be? Who knows?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I mean, what I found interesting about Judge O'Meara's decision yesterday is that he set timelines. He said the state has to have a plan together by the end of the month, and I want to have a recap on how things are going by the end of January. And if I don't see any of these things, I'm going to appoint a special master. So he's playing hardball right here, while the Attorney General is likely going to appeal. And we're hearing legislators say, especially on the Republican side of the aisle, say, you know what, We've got our own state Supreme Court taking a look at this matter. It doesn't really seem all that settled yet for us.
The bottom line, as far as Judge O'Meara goes, the state has until January 31st to get him some kind of plan that ensures every inmate sentenced to mandatory life as a juvenile has a, quote, fair, meaningful, and realistic opportunity for parole. So that is the bottom line there. Let's get to a little heavier lifting. If anything, there may be more unsettled business to the Michigan Court of Claims move a few weeks ago than with other stories combined. The politics were contentious. The administrative pieces are complicated. A so-called trailing bill is in the legislature right now that presumably would address some of these wrinkles. Kyle, what's in that and what are its prospects?
Well, I think I'm kind of interested in how they want to do this, but basically when they approve this bill that moves the Court of Claims to the Court of Appeals, there is a kind of a problem here in taking care of folks who are suing the state's right to a jury trial. The Court of Appeals is not set up to do jury trials, Mark.
Right.
I mean, there is no trial bench. There's no jury box. There is no witness stand. There's none of that. So they have to find a way to make sure that if people sue the state and they want a jury trial, they can get one. This is a bill that would presumably assure a person's right to a trial among his or her peers. How that's going to look, I'm interested to see right now what that's going to look like exactly. Do they hold them in circuit courts? But in order for it to survive any constitutional challenge, it does have to be part of the mix.
Tim, what do you make of this?
Well, this is a continuing saga. It's ironic. On December the 5th, we will have the first year anniversary of the right to work legislation that passed. And since that passed, the Democrats and the governor have been at odds. And ironically, over the last couple of months, they've actually started to work together again, sort of. Mm-hmm. At least they were in the same room trying to problem solve. And then, pow, comes this. And this has sort of blown up whatever goodwill there was. The Democrats, in a shouting match with the governor, basically told him, you have breached the bond of trust that we've been working on here. I don't know if they're back to space one or zero, but it clearly is a step back. And so this court of claim things judicially moves forward, but politically it still hangs over the air of Lansing and I think places a huge damper on them getting anything done between now and the end of the year on a variety of issues because it doesn't appear to me that everybody's in the holiday spirit.
Well, and procedurally, the right to a jury trial is not the only issue in play here. There's really a number of wrinkles, a number of impacts to this move.
Well, there is. And Tim was just talking about the political impacts on this because, I mean, it was obviously the most political thing that has happened, I think, this year because right to work happened late 2012. 2013, I believe this was the most political legislation that they've moved this year. And the reason is because the only reason the Republicans were pushing this is they didn't like what Ingham County judges were deciding on cases against the state. I mean, there's no question about that. And so there's that. And there are other legal challenges. There's at least one other legal challenge on this court of claims bill right now. Mr. Davis from Highland Park, who is well known among folks here in Lansing as filing suits, has already filed a federal suit on this. And he's got that in the Eastern District of Detroit. Ironically, the state wants to move that, though, back to Lansing, which we did something on yesterday. And I just kind of find it ironic. Here's a bill that decentralizes court cases out of Lansing. It goes to a suit is filed against it, and the AG wants to move it back to
Very
Lansing.
Very interesting. Yeah.
If I may, it's the nerd suit, which was yanked out of the Ingham County Court, put into the Court of Claims, and Gretchen Whitmer is going, see, told you so. She alleged that part of the reason they had this Court of Claims created in the first place was exactly to take that case out of Ingham County, put it in a more favorable judicial arena, and there will be nif-gnawing back and forth as to whether that's true or not, but indeed the facts do point that this nerd case has now been moved.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, Tim. There has only been a few cases that have been moved out of the Ingham County Circuit Court. That was one of them that was moved immediately, and that has to do with finding out who has contributed to Rick Snyder's quote-unquote nerd fund, right, which he used to fund aspects of state government.
Which he is not excited to release.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Unintended consequences. The Court of Claims move was given immediate effect. Let's talk about that briefly. Apparently, by a vote of 57-52, not the two-thirds majority required by the state constitution. Yesterday, here on Current State, Judge Michael Talbot, the new chief judge of the Michigan Court of Claims, explained part of that.
The question of immediate effect has come up in two cases over the years that are published opinions of the Court of Appeals and reviewed by the Supreme Court and allowed to stand, dealing with the fact, and I'm giving you a shorthand here, that the House, the Senate, are masters of their own rules. And that's essentially policy decision that says we, the courts, will stay out of the application of your rules.
That's an interesting opinion.
Yeah.
They have a rule on the books what they can ignore. And because the king can do no wrong, the House and Senate can do whatever they want. So why do they have any rules in the first place?
Does this not involve, though, the voice vote versus the actual vote? That is really at the crux of this, isn't it?
Right. And so the Democrats have tried to bring this matter to court and ask, don't we have to have a roll call vote to prove that two-thirds of the body is supporting giving a bill immediate effect? And the courts have said, we don't care how you determine what two-thirds is. You can do it by a voice vote. You can do it by the hands. It doesn't matter as long as you do it. And the Republicans can say, well, geez, we're the presiding officer. I thought I heard two-thirds vote. And who's to say that person didn't think that they heard two-thirds vote?
And clarify for us, please, is it accurate to say that both parties, historically speaking, have benefited and have abused the immediate effect option?
Yes. Next question.
Okay. Is there any significant discussion of immediate effect right now at the Capitol?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, the Democrats made a big play there when they went ahead and tried to file suit, but that suit is evaporated and I don't think we'll see another challenge to that until maybe the next batch of term-limited lawmakers get ticked off about it.
We're talking with Kyle Malin and Tim Skubick on Current State's Month in Review for November. Democratic candidate for Governor Mark Schauer this month called for Michigan to increase its minimum wage to $9.25 an hour. Here is candidate Schauer promoting the idea here on Current State 8 days ago.
You know, the face of the minimum wage is very different. Minimum wage earners are mostly adults. 85% of them are age 20 and over. 44% of minimum wage workers are working full-time. 55% are women, and many of those women are raising our children. So it is wrong and immoral and bad economics for parents working full-time and raising their children in poverty. We're better than that.
How was Mark Schauer's announcement received? Can we describe it?
Well, I think that it puts a face to this argument that we should raise the minimum wage, which has been something that I think has been kind of confined up to now by fast food workers and folks in the service industry. He is the first political candidate to really get up front on this issue here in Michigan and try and be active in it, I would say. I think that 925 is something that could push Republicans to do something about it maybe beforehand. We saw that last decade when there was a push for the minimum wage. They were concerned that the Democrats were going to put it on the ballot, so they went ahead and passed their own minimum wage increase. Maybe that moves it forward a little bit. I think it depends what the Republicans see in the polling as if the general public is on board with it.
What do you think, Tim? Could Schauer's support force might force the GOP to get on board with some kind of proposal?
Yeah, they'll look at it. Okay, it was a two-day story. Gave Mr. Schauer some visibility. People have been asking, where's Mark Schauer? Well, here he was down in Detroit making news, which he needs to do. He needs lots of free media to get his name ID up. We talked to the governor on the same day. He did not say he was against it. Didn't say it was on his agenda, basically said that would be a significant hike. And, of course, the business community, to be fair here, is going to say, you know what, you guys keep saying this helps the economy, but you know what, if we lay off people because we can't afford them, that doesn't help the economy either. So we have this back and forth, which we always have in this issue. And the last time it passed was because the Democrats had the Republicans over a barrel on a number of issues, and they just decided, let's just hold our noses and do this. I don't feel the same dynamics unfolding right at this read.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, I take it there has been some discussion among Michigan labor unions involving a ballot proposal for next year along these lines?
Well, it's possible. I'm just throwing that out there. But, you know, last go-around in 2012, they tried to put ballot proposals on, and they all failed. So I don't know if that's really the tact that they want to take. It's a discussion item, but I don't think they go
labor's not going there. Mm. They're not going to put a series of ballot proposals. They learned their lesson the last time out. They spent a boatload of money. Take that $25 million that they spent on proposal X or whatever
two.
It was,
yeah.
And put those into House races. You might have a Democratic controlled House. So I think they learned their lesson. They're not going to put any money on that horse at all.
Well, and they've got limited resources to work with here,
too. They got the House, they got the Senate, they got the Supreme Court, they got governor, they got Secretary of State and Attorney General.
They got a lot of places to spend money.
Well, and not only that, because of right to work, they've got a shrinking membership as well, so fewer people kicking into the pot.
Precisely. Okay. It's an unperfect storm for the D's.
Okay. Michigan is moving toward internet lottery gaming, scheduled for about a year from now. This was announced just Wednesday. What exactly is being considered here?
Well, what they're talking about here is moving existing lottery games and putting them online and giving people who like to play the scratch-offs and such an opportunity to play these games from the comfort of their own home. The lottery feels like this is where the industry's going. We already have three states going in this direction, already have something in place. Michigan wants to be a leader on this as opposed to a follower, and in the process raise money for the school aid fund, which is always the big sell for lottery. If we can get this online, $400 million in 5 years, was it, Tim? Going to the school aid fund, which always seems to help the PR for them.
Much of a debate here, much of a fight,
well,
Tim?
There's a lot of lawmakers who didn't like this. In fact, when it surfaced 5 or 6 months ago, the story was done, some lawmakers said, well, we're going to introduce legislation to block this. Now, they didn't move on it. I'm not sure they could have gotten the votes, but there is a body of thought that says if we make it so convenient that on a snowy day, instead of getting in your car to go buy a lottery ticket, you can just fire up your iPad and buy it there, that we're going to expand gambling. Rick Jones says it will put more people on welfare. The college kids will gamble their college tuition scholarships away, and the sky is falling, which may be partly true. But the lottery people are sensitive to this. They want to put in some safeguards. For example, there's a limit on the amount of money you can bet a day. It's probably under $1 million. We have to know what that number is. Okay, because that could be a clue. And secondly, they want to another fly in the ointment is all of these 11,000 lottery agents who make a boatload of money out of selling lottery tickets. 6% on every ticket.
Retail. Yeah.
6 cents on every ticket. Okay, do the math. They're a little up in arms. And I talked to their lobbyist yesterday who says, you know, we didn't even get a call. We didn't, you know, we're partnering with these guys. And what kind of partner do we have that, you know, basically stiffed us on this without any input? They're going to try to slow this puppy down. Do they get the votes in the legislature to put the genie back in the bottle? I think not. But there could be some contentious debate over this again, with the Lottery Bureau basically going around the legislature to do this. And they did it. It was perfectly legal. What they did was okay, you know, but some people won't like it.
Remember back in 2006, we had a ballot proposal that was approved that said any expansion to gaming has to have the vote of the people. Is this an expansion of gaming? I think that's a question that may be raised in a court near you sometime soon by the casinos, by maybe the Indian reservations with their casinos, because what this could do is take business away from them. Because look, we've got people who can now gamble basically in the comfort of their own home. Why do they got to go to a smoky casino now to do it? That's something we got to watch for here.
Mm-hmm. Be thinking of an underreported story here. Just a few minutes, a few minutes here before I pop the question. A couple of key Michigan energy officials. Public Service Commission Chairman John Quackenbush and Michigan Energy Office Director Steve Buchall spent November submitting more and more in the way of energy policy ideas to the Snyder administration. This is all leading up to Governor Snyder's long-term energy recommendation scheduled for next month. How big of a deal will the governor's plan be, and do we have any idea what's likely to be in it?
Well, I think he's going to bump the number of energy. What are we at, 10% now?
Yeah.
Of renewable energy? I think the data seems to point that we are doing pretty well there, that we can bump that number up. This report has been criticized for being just kind of a rehash of what we already knew with not any real direction, and some of the Greens didn't like that. But you know, look, there's nothing wrong with calling for more renewable energy, and if you can get there, fine, and if you can't, the world will not end.
When the governor makes his announces his plan, though, how big of a deal will that be? How closely scrutinized do you think that will be?
Well, I think it will be significant, because then we'll know where the governor is on renewable energy. I mean, as Tim said, right as of right now, he's just asked for basically more information, which is what this work group has done in these four reports. What's he going to do on renewables, energy conservation? You know, and of course, the utilities and the electric choice people want to know if he's interested in raising the cap on electric providers being able to provide electric choice. That's another huge issue. We haven't really gotten a lot of direction from the governor on this, because he's had other things on his plate. But when he actually takes this information, distills it, and gives us a direction, I think it will be a significant story for sure.
Do we have a date, by the way, yet for his plan for next month?
No, not
I.
No,
I,
no.
I haven't heard of one.
No.
So, underreported story of the month.
You know, I've been thinking about this. I think that this debate about whether folks who give to these large issue advocacy campaigns and whether their names should be released is a very interesting subject for discussion. If you give $10 to the campaign of Rick Snyder, Mark Schauer, anybody, your name will appear on the Secretary of State's website as having given to these groups. And that money will go for maybe a TV commercial or a piece of literature or something along those lines. Yet, if you give to the group Americans for Apple Pie and Freedom, for example, your name will never appear anywhere.
Because, I like the free beer and ice cream.
Right,
act.
That's not
I
a mean, bad
let's,
one
let's
too.
Go there.
You are basically giving and you to a group, and you are staying anonymous. And yet, that same group can take your money and go on air and broadcast all sorts of stuff against this political candidate or that political candidate. And I think that this is a debate that is happening right now in Lansing between Republicans themselves. Should we have disclosure of these people who give to these issue advocacy groups? It's a debate that I don't think is finished yet.
Tim?
I continue to be interested in the fact that the governor 2 years ago called for a hefty amount of increased spending in transportation. As we sit here on the eve of Thanksgiving, he has nothing to be thankful for in that regard other than some extra $350 million that they found. Now, the speaker may pull a rabbit out of his hat between now and the end of the year to do this, but the inability of both parties to put the politics aside on this issue and do what the governor perceived 2 years ago to be the right thing to do, they simply have not been able to get that together. And it's a lack of leadership on everybody's fault, a pox on all of them. This is the sort of thing where you say, look, this is a tough vote. Let's just do it because it's the right. If this helps to grow the economy, everybody in this town says they want to grow the economy, except they don't want to take the tough votes to get there. And I think that story has sort of languished there, but it just is going nowhere fast.
Real briefly, how productive a December do you expect here at the legislature?
The first 2 weeks, I think, could be very productive. And I mean, we'll see a lot of action. We'll see if we see any movement in a certain direction. I don't think there will be a shortage of stories to cover the first 2 weeks. I think it's interesting that they're blowing out of Dodge on December 12th. Usually they go that third week, Tim. Randy Richardville says we're going to wrap it up quick, though.
Well, and look, they have all next year, okay? But next year is a bigger political year than this year, and it'll be an interesting 2 weeks.
We want to thank Tim Skubick, host of WKAR-TV's Off the Record, and Kyle Malin, news editor at MERS News in downtown Lansing. I'm sure I'll see you both at Target Friday morning, 5 a.m.
What
do you say?
Not going to happen, sweetheart.
Oh, that's
not
right.
Not going to happen.
Thursday night at midnight. I forgot. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Marky.